Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It's Sunday, September 14th, 2025. Thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day here today. But heavy week, y'all, this week. Heavy week. A lot of craziness in our world. What are we doing? Have we lost our mind as a country? I mean, I tell you what, this is I was shaken to the core this week, and I'm going to share what God's laid on my heart this morning. It's just, man, it's heartbreaking what's going on in our world right now, and it's time to have a conversation, and it's time to just stop all this evilness and just the madness in our world, and we're going to figure out how to do it. Hey, we've been talking about that on this show, and you know, it's one conversation at a time, and it starts with you and it starts with me, and that's even more so true today. But thanks for tuning in. We're going to take a break right here, but we'll be back on the other side. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know, that's my encouragement this week, y'all. If you're like me, you woke up a different person Thursday morning. The assassination of Charlie Kirk is just, it's shaking this country in a way that I haven't seen since probably 9/11. Probably going to be bigger than that when it's all said and done, because just a senseless, brutal murder of a man that, you know, you may not have agreed with him, but you took a father, you took a husband, and you took a guy that a lot of young people looked up to in this world, and they were identifying with this guy and his conservative values, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And the fact that he shared his faith openly on college campuses and didn't try to argue. He challenged the kids to let's have a debate. Let's have a civil debate. Let's have a conversation. And he did that in such a just brilliant, eloquent way. And I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. But the fact that he was taken from us this week is so sad and tragic. Not only obviously for Charlie and his life, but just, I mean, where we are as a country. I mean, what is going on? Can we not respect human dignity and human life enough to say, hey, I may disagree with you politically, I may disagree with you socially, but, man, I have no interest in taking somebody's life. I mean, that is just pure evil. And I'm just going to cut to the chase. I mean, we're all going to get distracted. I have been for several days. I've been distraught. It is lit a fire in my belly that I haven't felt in a long time. And it's got me fired up. And it's not revenge. It's not retribution. It's not violence. It's, man, we need Jesus. We need Jesus Christ in the worst way. And it's time for the citizens of this country, the men of this country, to step up and, you know, ironically, get on their knees and bow before the Lord and submit and say, God, please help us. We need it. Because you know what? The direction we're heading, it's not good. And if we don't do it, who will? Are you scared? Yeah, I am. I woke up a little more shook in my core on Thursday morning. And, you know, I didn't follow Charlie Kirk every day. I wasn't a follower of him on social media. I had seen him on the news, seen clips on social media of him on college campuses. And he was respectful of those individuals that he came into contact with. And most of the time, he changed their mind. And he made them realize, hey, what I'm thinking, what am I thinking? But, again, it wasn't, hey, I'm trying to be right or wrong. I just want to have a conversation because we're different, and that's what you do. In a democracy, that's what you do in this country, in America. We can come together and have conversations and not be afraid of physical or violent, physical discourse or violence or any of this stuff. And it's just senseless and it's brutal and it stops now. It's over. We've got to quit this. Again, it's evil. It's good versus evil. And y'all, bottom line, we know, believers, Christians know, people that have read the Bible know how this thing ends. And there's only one way evil loses, and that's when Jesus Christ returns. And if you don't know him this morning or today when you're hearing my voice, get to know him. I'm telling you, it's getting real. and the things that were said throughout the Bible, you can say, oh, it's just fantasy land book, or it's just a collection of tales and stories to make people feel good. So be it. But everything it says is happening, has happened, and is happening. And Jesus says, you better trust in me. And so that's my encouragement to us this week. Trust in the Lord. He tells us right here in Isaiah 40:10. I'm going to read it again. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Y'all, he's got us. Don't be dismayed. Don't be worried. I know. People are scared. I'm worried. I mean, again, where are we going? What are we doing? But this verse right here tells me he's got us. We're in his right hand. Take comfort in that and know that he loves you and he's got you. And if you don't know that, start a conversation with him and just say, God, are you real? And see what happens. We're going to have a conversation this morning. I'm just laying out what God has laid on my heart. You know, I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're Hispanic. I don't care what your ethnicity is. I don't care your sexual preference. I don't care if you're Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or Jewish. That's not what it's all about. It's just not. It is, it's not political. It's biblical. Y'all, this is good versus evil. This is the way it plays out. If you know God's word, or if you don't know God's word, in God's word, this is the way it plays out. And in the end times, I'm not saying it's over, but in the end days, Christians will be persecuted. Y'all, we've grown up in America. If you grew up here, we haven't faced persecution in this country. 9/11 was horrific, and that was an attack on this country. But the civil liberties and the civil rights that are being infringed upon, and with this incident right here, I mean, Charlie Kirk being taken out, he was a very inspirational figure to the conservative movement in this country, and not only the conservative movement, but the young conservative movement. Y'all, there is a groundswell of young college and high school students that I believe is going to create a revival in this country. That has been my prayer. I went back to school back in 2009 through certain circumstances, and I spent 5 years teaching and coaching and trying to impact lives any way I could, because God laid it on my heart, there's a revival coming. There's a revival coming. And I'm not teaching and coaching anymore, but I'm still talking to some of those students, and I'm still making those connections and continuing to pour into their lives and for them to pour into my life and just be there and doing life together. And you know what? I've always told them, it ain't about left or right. It ain't about Democrat or Republican. It's about good versus evil. And what we've got to do as believers is we've got to shine our light for Jesus Christ, and we got to shine it on that evil. And I'm not talking about revenge. I'm not talking about violence. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. What I'm talking about is being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ and sitting down with people that we don't disagree with and being able to have a conversation. I mean, it's a scary thought, because that's what got Charlie Kirk killed. He sat down and he had the hard conversations. But that dude was articulate. He was charismatic. He was brilliant. I saw a 3-minute clip with him in an exchange with a student on a college campus, and he pulled off the top of his head, out of memory, he pulled information from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, and from the Constitution of the United States of America. And I couldn't pull that up off the top of my head off of any one of those subjects. But he did, because he knew where he stood, and he knew that his faith was in Jesus Christ. And y'all, there was another video, and you, like me, you've watched some of this and you've seen it, but he stated in a video, they said, what do you want to be most remembered for when you die? And he said, I want to be known that for my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And y'all, that's unashamed. That's unashamed. And where has that gone in this country? Where have we, as Christian and Christian leaders and Christian men, I'm calling us out. Are we standing bold in our faith? No, we're not. And we got to stick that chest out, and we got to stand tall, and we got to be protective of this country and our families, y'all. All anybody wants in this world is to have a safe place to live, to raise a family, and to have a few friends, and to just live a good life. And we want to be left alone. But our rights are being infringed upon, and it's time it stops. And it stops now, and we got to do it. And if it's not you and it's not me, who's it going to be? So speak up, use your voice, Shine your light on evil. It's not violence, y'all. It's not revenge. It's just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way, y'all. It's the way it goes in God's word. It's just, that's all there is to it. And so my hat's off to Charlie Kirk. So sad this week to lose him and his voice and what he stood for as a believer and as a conservative voice in this country. Again, not political, biblical. Good versus evil. That man was taken way too young from this earth. Godspeed, Charlie Kirk. What are we doing? I mean, honestly, what are we doing in this country, in this world? The political violence, the character assassination, the vile social media, lewd acts, riots in the streets. And why? Because we disagree with one another? Because we don't look alike? Because we have different orientations or political views? It's garbage, y'all. It's a distraction, and the evil one, is that's all he wants. He wants to distract us. He wants us to be divided. And we got to come together as believers and as Christians and say enough's enough. We're not going to take it anymore. We're just not. We got to stand firm in our convictions, and we got to speak the truth in love. And we got to encourage one another. We got to have conversations, and we've got to, you know what? But you better know what you believe. Do you know what you believe? That's a challenge for us this week. I've talked to countless people that go, man, I thought I believe this and I thought I believe that, but man, my views are changing. Or, you know, I didn't really, I believed it kind of, I thought it did, but man, it made me, I woke up Thursday morning, y'all, and it lit a fire in me. And I shared with somebody earlier today, I would love to tell you at 51 years of age that I would die for my wife and I would die for my children. I would. Anybody past that? I can't tell you that I honestly would. I'd like to think I would. But if I had to make that choice, would I? I'm not sure. I'd like to tell you I would, but I can't tell you. But you know what? As of Thursday morning when I woke up, I asked myself that question, and I said, yes, I would. I saw a man get taken from this planet way too young in a very disturbing and disgusting way. And all he wanted to do was tell people about his love and his relationship with Jesus Christ. Why is it that the good ones get taken out? Why is it that the ones that want to talk, have conversations, and bring unity and peace through civil conversation? Why is it? It's evil, y'all. It's evil, pure and simple. And we can't get distracted in that fact and try to blame news channels or political parties or people on either side of the aisle or gun violence, or I mean, it is gun violence, or gun ownerships, gun rights. We can't blame any of that. And that's what we're doing. We're blaming all the symptoms when we got to find the cure. And the cure is good versus evil. And the cure is Jesus Christ. I'll say the diagnosis is good versus evil. And the diagnosis, the medicine is Jesus Christ. Let's say it that way. Because that's the only thing that's going to heal this. So don't get distracted in your neighbor's different political views or their sexual orientation or who they voted for or who they hang out with or the color of their skin. None of that stuff matters. None of it. And it's all a distraction. It's evil and good versus evil. That's all it is. And in the end, Jesus Christ, good wins. Evil, I'm here to tell you, good wins. And we may have to go through some darkness before we go to the light, but we're going to see that. And that man, 31-year-old Charlie Kirk, again, I didn't follow him on social media. I knew who he was. I wasn't like, hey, I got to watch every video, but now you know what I am. And I don't agree, again, with everything that he stood for and everything that he believed in, but I identified with a lot of it. I dang sure identified the fact that he professed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I only hope that I could do that just as well as he could and as boldly as he could. But his death should not be in vain, and it's not going to be. Just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his death was not in vain. And I'm not equating Charlie Kirk to Jesus Christ, but they both died for a cause that they believed in. And it was a selfless cause. And it was a cause about being something bigger than themselves. It was a selflessness like no other. And that's what it's all about, y'all. As believers, we got to be selfless. When you realize as a believer that it's not about you, it's about serving everybody else and serving the kingdom, that's when I believe we start growing as true believers and true Christians and true followers of Jesus Christ. We become the hands and feet. That's the way it's supposed to work. So in this dark hour, in this country, enough's enough. But you know what? We got to take this opportunity to stand bold in our faith and to tell people about Jesus Christ and about that selfless love. And we can start it about a conversation through Charlie Kirk. And you know what? You may not agree with him. You may not like him. But you can't be killing people, y'all. You can't be doing it. Check yourself today. I'm checking myself, have been for several days. And what are we doing? What are we doing with what we've got? What's it all about? It's bigger than us. It's much bigger than us. And we got to pull it together. Because you know what? If we don't, nobody else will. Back between the months of May through November of 1941, famous author C.S. Lewis wrote a series of letters to an Anglican publication called The Guardian. And he wrote these letters called the Screwtape Letters, just as an interesting perspective and a perspective from the enemy's point of view. And I'm talking a spiritual enemy. And this was a series of letters that he wrote, obviously fiction, but there's some truth to it when you hear what I have to say. But basically it was this demon, and he was writing letters of encouragement to his minions who were trying to attack believers and take down Christianity. And, you know, just again, when I first read it and kind of saw it, I was like, I don't know if I want to read this, but I just hung in there and I realized that C.S. Lewis was a brilliant mind and his imagination was just through the roof. Actually, he wrote Chronicles of Narnia, if you don't know anything about C.S. Lewis, and just very famous story writer. And he actually was an atheist when he was a young man, and he set out as a very brilliant young man to disprove Christianity. And he knew he was right. And through years of research, he got saved. He realized there is a God, there is a creator of the universe, and Jesus Christ was real, and he gave his life to the Lord. And but he wrote this series of letters in 1941. What is that, 85 years ago, 84 years ago? My math's a little fuzzy, but nearly 100 years ago, he wrote this. And again, it was interesting. Somebody shared this with me just in the last couple of days with everything that's been going on in this country and the political divide and all that stuff. But it's an excerpt from this book, and I want to share it with you. And again, I know we're talking about the Lord and we're talking about Jesus on the show, and I want you to understand the perspective of this is C.S. Lewis writing a fictional story or a series of letters in a publication from week to week, and it's a perspective of a demon writing to one of his minions on how to attack Christianity. And the demon in the story is Uncle Screwtape, and the minion's name is Wormwood. And it says this, and I just thought it was interesting because, again, 85 years-ish ago, C.S. Lewis wrote this. Be sure that the it says, excuse me, my dear Wormwood, be sure that the patient remains completely fixated on politics, arguments, political gossip, and obsessing on the faults of people they have never met serves as an excellent distraction from advancing in personal virtue, character, and the things of the patient can control. Make sure to keep the patient in a constant state of angst, frustration, and general disdain towards the rest of the human race in order to avoid any kind of charity or inner peace from further developing. Ensure the patient continues to believe that the problem is, quote, out there, unquote, in the, quote, broken system, unquote, rather than recognizing there is a problem with himself. Keep up the good work, Uncle Screwtape. You know, when I first read a similar letter to that in this book, The Screwtape Letters, again, a collection of letters that C.S. Lewis wrote, it scared me. It scared me because there's a lot of truth to that. This is fiction. Obviously, C.S. Lewis, don't believe, was a demon, but that perspective and that attitude and that cunning and that conniving from the enemy, y'all, it's real. And I read it as a young man. Then I read it at this book again a couple years ago, and somebody shared it with me this week as we've had this tragedy and this horrible week in our country and all the violence and political discourse and disdain, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I said, C.S. Lewis was way ahead of his time. This is 1941, he wrote this, and y'all, it's happening. And my question is, why is it happening? It's because we have allowed it. We have allowed our country to become what it's become. And it's time as believers in Jesus Christ and followers of him that we got to stand up and stand up for our beliefs. And it's not about me. And it's not about you, but it's about the collection of individuals in this place and being there for one another and coming together and celebrating what we have in common as opposed to what distracts us and what tears us apart. We used to do a very good job of that in this country. We used to come together after the 5 o'clock news and say, hey, it's been a good day. You're on one side of the aisle. I'm on the other side of the aisle politically. Different color skin, different beliefs, whatever it may be. But now if we don't agree 100%, well, you're going to hell and either side. But I'm going to tell you, we got to stop it now. And we got to be the grownups in the room. And we're going to talk about that here in the next segment. I got something pretty interesting I want to share and a good insight on how we can do that. You know, I've been reflecting, obviously, over the last few days, again, talking about just the state of our world, the state of our country specifically. Y'all, we need to be praying. We need to be on our knees as men, as women in this country, as believers. We need to be on our knees. And God's been laying that on my heart here recently, too. Like, I'm praying at a table or at a desk or in my easy chair or whatever it may be. But it's time to get on my knees. It's time to get uncomfortable, and it's time to be humble before the Lord. And I'm making that vow. I'm going to start doing that and have started doing that because of this senseless tragedy in our country this week and the awful, awful assassination of Charlie Kirk. You know, again, I don't care if you agreed with him or not. It's not about that. It's not about black and white. It's not about left and right, conservative, Democrat, liberal. It's good versus evil. It's just our world that we're in now. And you know, I just had this thought the other night as I was just reflecting and reading and listening to different things that were going on by different people. And I had this thought, and it was just, I'd had it, you know, and I just said, enough. And it reminded me of growing up. And, we grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, very blessed. My parents loved us, raised us well, gave us everything we ever needed. I have an older brother and a younger sister, and I am a typical middle child. I confess that. But every summer, we would go to Wharton, Texas, to see my dad's parents, and it was about a 14-hour drive. And we would load up in the station wagon. This is late 70s, early 80s, greatest time to grow up in America ever, and I'll debate you on that anytime. But we would make that trek every summer, and to go see my grandparents and all the other aunts and uncles and cousins would be out there, and it'd be a great time. We'd be out there together for a week, and just a great memories as a child. But as a parent, I realize what a task that was for my parents to drive in a station wagon with all your luggage on top and the cargo carrier and three children sleeping for, you know, early hour mornings of parts of the trip in the back of the station wagon. And all those seats would lay down flat. And back then you didn't have to worry about seat belts and all that stuff. And we would put blankets and quilts down and grab our pillows and we'd jump in and we'd sleep for the first 4 hours, 5 hours of the trip. And then we'd wake up. And inevitably, somebody'd start picking on somebody, and we'd start arguing and bickering and da-da-da. And then before you knew it, you had a pretty good argument going on somewhere in that back seat. And one of my parents would eventually turn around, and they would have had enough. And they would have – those eyes get big as silver dollars, and that jaw would get clenched, and they would turn around and say, enough! And, you know, I don't care if it was myself – usually it was – my brother or my sister, who never did anything wrong for the record we would all shrivel back to our corner and we would all get back in line because we knew we had crossed a line and we knew that was it. That was it. Okay, it's time. And that's what we need, y'all, in this country right now. We need God to turn around and say from that front seat to the back seat and say, enough, enough. That's it. And we got to take it back, y'all, and we got to get this thing under control. And it starts with us. Men, I'm calling you out. Show up in church. Show up for your children. Be there for them. It ain't all about a paycheck. It ain't all about how far you can hit a golf ball. I'm guilty of that. I can't hit it very far. But it ain't about the treasures on this materialistic journey that we've been on most of our lives. It's about investing in our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren by making this place the greatest place on the planet Earth that I grew up in. Y'all, what's happened to this world is unacceptable. What's happened to this country is unacceptable. And if we don't stand up and start voicing our opinion, and look, the conservative voice in this country has been had their civil rights violated in the last 20 years. And we haven't seen anything like this since the 60s. And Dr. Martin Luther King stood up for what he believed in. And he was attacked. And he was taken out because people thought, he's got too big of a voice. And you know what? The same thing has happened in the Charlie Kirk and the conservative movement. He was taken out because he had a voice. And both of those men stood on their convictions and what they believed in. And they said, even if it cost me my life, I just want to be remembered as a follower of Jesus Christ and somebody that brought people together. And so where are we and what is your part? If you're listening to this and you can hear my voice, start with a prayer. Start with a word of encouragement. I've said that for weeks, for months now. It starts one conversation at a time, and it starts with you and it starts with me. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? It's our time. I'm not talking violence. I'm not talking retribution. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ and extending love and extending an opportunity to impact the world for Jesus Christ with our neighbors, with our friends, with our coworkers. Y'all, we got to be there for one another. That's been the theme on this program. We talk about it week in and week out. Be there for one another. Encourage one another. Build each other up. And it's getting darker and darker. But we got to be the light because that's who he called us to be. Shine your light bright. Shine it wherever you go and shine it unashamedly for Jesus Christ because he did it for you. Heavy week in this country, but you know what? There's a silver lining. There's a silver lining. We got to pick up the mantle and we got to say, where are we in our faith? Are you willing to die for your belief in Jesus Christ? I don't think you're being asked to, but now people are starting to be in this country. That's a serious question we got to ask ourselves. And it's a heavy conversation, but we got to have it. Hey, I love you, but it starts with you and it starts with me, and we got to start relying on our inner convictions, and we got to start doing the right thing, and we got to start standing up for our not only our sake, but for our kids' sakes and our grandkids' sakes. And it starts with you, and it starts with me, and Jesus Christ tells us through God's word in Isaiah 41:10, he's got us, and all we got to do is trust him. Trust him today. Thanks for being a part of the show. Glad you're listening. It's been a heavy week. I know this has been a heavy topic this morning, but at the end of the day, we just need to know that God's got us. He loves us, and he only wants a relationship with us. All you got to do is tell him yes. And I just want to share this story from the other night. It was weird. Again, we've kind of been talking about the heaviness, the political divide, and the discourse in our country, particularly this week with the loss, the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Way too early at the age of 31, young father, young dad, and young, just conservative voice in this country that a lot of young people on college campuses looked up to, and parents as well. But anyway, that happened Wednesday. And y'all, Tuesday night, I was having trouble sleeping. I was exhausted, had not slept well Monday night. And Tuesday night, I was, you know, ready to go to bed, but couldn't sleep. Janet had gone to bed. The boys had gone upstairs, and I was, you know, I'm going to turn the TV on. I'll watch a ball game, news, something. I'll fall asleep, you know, make me tired, whatever. And so I turned it on, and Shawshank Redemption was on. All-time favorite movie for me, probably because of the name, but it's a top three movie for me. But again, if you've never seen it, check it out. It's a hard movie. It's about a prison, and it's about a couple of guys that met in prison. And but it's got a good story. And it's got a message of hope in it. And I've seen the movie a million times. And if it's one of those movies, and you all have them. It may not be Shawshank Redemption, but you see it come on, and you're going to watch it, whether it's at the very beginning or 5 minutes left. You're probably going to watch it to the end. It's that movie for me. And there was an hour and a half left in it. So I said, oh, it's plenty. It'll make me tired. I'll go to sleep probably eventually. So anyway, of course, I'm hooked on the movie. I know it word for word. I've seen it a million times. But it got to the end of the movie, and Morgan Freeman, who plays the character Red, has finally gotten out of prison. He's gotten his parole, and he had a deal with his good friend Andy Dufresne, who was played by Tim Robbins in the movie. And Andy Dufresne had escaped prison. And he was a brilliant guy. He's a lawyer. He knew taxes and all that. But he devised a plan, and he had a stash of money and a plan to get out. And he escaped and went down to Mexico. But he left. He told Red before he escaped prison, he said, "I'm going to get out of here." And he said, "I'm going to leave you something at this spot. And here's a map or where to go." And so fast forward, he escapes, and Red gets out on parole. And he says, "Well, I've got nothing else to do, so let me go see if that letter's in the spot." And he goes, and there's some money in the sack. And there's a note to Red, and he's explaining, "Hey, you remember where I told you I was going to be, and I'm there. So come on, here's enough money to get a bus ticket, and come meet me down in Mexico." And anyway, so he's reading this letter. Morgan Freeman is, and I'm going somewhere with this, trust me. But I've heard this line a million times in the end of this letter from Red, or from Andy Dufresne to his friend Red. And again, he's left this sack of money in this letter, and he tells Red, he's wanting him to come meet him in Mexico, and he says this towards the end of the letter. He said, "Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies." And I was stopped in my tracks on Tuesday night when I saw that line, and I hit rewind on the TV, and I watched it again, and then again. And then I went over for some reason to my backpack, and I got my notebook out with my pen, and I wrote this down, and I just read it from you. Read it from my notebook for you just now. And it was just kind of like, man, that was profound. And it's interesting. I've never really heard it in that way. And then Wednesday happens, and Charlie Kirk is taken out. And it's just been, something y'all is stirring in my soul. God is moving. And my hope and prayer is that 99% of Americans are feeling the same way today. I don't like tragedy. I don't like angst and sadness and all that, but I hope we've woken up and said, hey, it's time to get our country back in action. But again, it's good versus evil. And last night, y'all, I was sitting there and I thought about this quote from Shawshank Redemption. And I went and got my notebook out last night after I've been reading all this Charlie Kirk stuff for a day and a half. And man, I'm getting ticked off and I'm blaming whoever and whoever. And I saw that quote and it stopped me again. And I started thinking about that. And I went, you know what? Wasn't that cool that I stopped Tuesday night? And y'all, I think God used that movie line to stop me and to write it down and to prepare me for what was coming on Wednesday. And it may sound like a silly movie quote, but I read that again and said, remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. And I thought about that word hope, and I said, you know what? My hope is in Jesus Christ. Is your hope in Jesus Christ? Because if it is, that line, remember, that reads in a whole new way. When I put Jesus in that and substitute that for hope, this is what it says. Remember, Red, Jesus is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. Y'all, Jesus is my hope. Jesus will never die. He will conquer evil. And we as followers of Jesus Christ and Christians, we got to shine our light and we got to be brave and we got to be bold. Pick up the mantle today. Start the conversation. The time to take the gloves off is now. We got to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ and we got to go serve our communities and we got to pitch in and we got to love one another. This dissension, this angst, this discourse and divide in our world, we got to stop it. We got to expose it. And we got to show people that we're better than this. Praying for you guys. Hope you have a great week. I know it was a heavy show, but hey, sometimes we got to have those times. And today's one of them. But you know what? We needed the wake-up call. So wake up, do your part, and get involved.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 1065, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.